Now it's time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist, Joey Bia's research grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B. Outdoor Science and Nature. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. So now let's go to our weather report. Here's meteorologist Joey B. Today will be unusually hot, morning temperatures of 87 degrees, and we'll be going up to a sweltering heat with a temp of 109 degrees. Well, that's what it was in Las Vegas 1 week ago. I flew into suppressing heat. The average temperature should be a low of 78, and it was 87 when I woke up, and a high of 102, but it went up to 109. And this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or in one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. Now, I've spent summers out in a sagebrush steppe in Idaho, which is a desert 8,000 feet up in the Rocky Mountains. It's really cool. You're climbing up Rocky Mountains, and then it just levels off, and there is a desert. And you could see, no exaggeration, for 60 miles. And I've used this story before, but it is worthwhile. This is how dry, we always hear about, it's dry weather out there. The first day that I was shaving out there, put shaving cream on my face, I'm shaving. And by the time I got to the second half of my face, the shaving cream was dry crust on my face. So when we talk about desert weather today, these are some of the things we're going to discuss. There was a rainstorm coming in because, as I said, you could see for 60 miles. You actually see these massive cumulonimbus clouds coming in. They're moving in, and as they move in, you could see the rain coming down. And when the rain is overhead, it's only like, and there are monstrous drops, it's only like one or two drops hit you because the ground was so dry, it was so warm below, it was evaporating right there and going back up into it. So I'm going to let you know that the percentage of humidity has a lot to do with it. One of the days out in Vegas, it was 107 degrees, and the percentage of humidity was only 10%. Now that's unbelievably dry. Many times when you're exercising, you know it, and it feels like, you know, here's the deal. You're exercising. Say you're going for a run and you're sweating, you could feel it. But sometimes when you're on a bike and you're riding along, because the air is actually drying the water, the moisture on your body, your sweat, you really don't feel it. Well, here's the difference in desert weather and non. So I'll give you the example. So I happen to fly back east from Vegas, and I fly back to a heat wave in the east. Now, it was going up to 98 degrees the day I got back. The dew point, which is the temperature at which condensation occurs, was in the upper 60s. 70s is considered tropical, so this is really a high humidity day. So I go from as dry as could be to as much moisture as the air, you know, typically would hold, a really crazy one. And I go for a walk every day, or a run for every day, or bike, whatever I'm doing. And I say when I'm going out for a walk, I'm going out to solve the world's problems. So I get back in, and I just wanted to stretch my legs a little bit. So I go out for a walk, and I'm telling you right now, I never feel heat. Like, it doesn't bother me. Humidity, I live in the east, it doesn't. And I am telling you, I went from the driest days being out there in the desert to in the east, and it was the first day ever on the walk, I'm going, man, I feel warm. And again, I never ever do. And the clothes, they were stuck to my body. In Nevada, it was hot, but it was dry. So I was out there at the Super Zoo, Barkerstown Brew, the advanced hydration drink for dogs, sent me out there. And I figured one day, because now think about this. You're at a trade show, so you're indoors all day long. And then I'm in air conditioning, and I'll get to air conditioning in a little bit. So I said, let me just get home, go out by the pool, my motel, hang out. 10 minutes tops. I said, let me just get a little bit of sun. I wasn't even putting, I'm a sunscreen, sunblock guy. And for 10 minutes, and again, you have to be careful. I said, 10 minutes, don't even put it on. I said, just put on a pair of shorts, go down to the pool. I am sitting by the pool and the desert wind kicks up. It's late afternoon. It was 105 out that day. And the wind was so warm and dry. I tell you, I didn't make 10 minutes. And then for me, the outdoor guy, I was like, holy moly. It was like, it felt like somebody had a large blow dryer like aimed at you. That's what it felt like. You know, and these are the convection currents that happen because convection is when warm is rising, cold is settling. And when we talk about warm air, because obviously wind is rising, well, the ground is so warm. And as you go up, it begins to cool. And it doesn't need to be that much of a difference in temperature. As long as there's a temperature difference, you will get a convection current. If you go to a lava lamp, like the peace, love, and grooviness of one, and you see, no, there's not real lava inside there, but you actually see the wax that's inside, the paraffin, it's rising. There's probably less than a degree in difference in temperature from bottom where the light bulb is to the top, but you get that convection current going. When I got back east, I took Gabby, we went to the shore, visit mom and dad. We're down there and we're flying a kite. And the kite was like way, it was bolting to the sky, so to speak, because there was such a breeze, but that's the convection current because the sand can hold in so much heat, very similar to the desert topography and what it can. So what I do is this, when I want to learn about an area, so I'm going somewhere different. I always want to listen to local news. And sometimes I'm in the middle of nowhere, USA, and the local news really is local news. Like the freeway was stalled today because there was cattle. Again, and no, it sounds funny, but that's really what it is. Well, I began to watch some of the local news out in Vegas. And every meteorologist was speaking about fire danger. The area was issued a red flag warning by the National Weather Service. Every meteorologist, I kept flipping local news, said repeatedly, fire weather warnings, fire weather. And they just kept saying it over and over because there was that much, it was severe. They interviewed in the studio a police captain. He spoke of the danger of wildfires from fireworks. Again, I was out there close to the 4th of July. Well, they have illegal fireworks, but many are still legal. So it's like, here's the difference. You can shoot off these and you can't shoot off these. And a couple of states in the East have just started this too. Well, if there's a fire danger, how about not shooting off any of them? Now, they have commercial stating, and I thought this was pretty good. Fireworks, legal versus illegal. The motto was, you light it, we write it, meaning you get a ticket. And there was another one that was safe and sane fireworks. And if not, you get a $100 fine. Well, I looked at the national weather map and the fire map there. There were so many large fires raging out in the west. So when you have temperatures that are 109, 107, and it is that dry, because again, there's not much moisture in the air, so it means it's not going to rain much. And you're definitely going to cause problems. You give a fire more air and it picks up in intensity. And those are those dry winds out in California. You always hear about the Santa Ana winds. And that's what stokes some of these fires. The day I was flying out, the winds were gusting from 30 to 40 miles per hour. And once again, you're going to get that with that uneven heating of you have the earth and cool air rising. It was enough for stoking a minor fire. And to give you that example, and I've used this one before too, when I was doing my research out there in Idaho on the sagebrush steppe, there was a fire that started that was 40 acres. So here we are doing research and miles away because we're in that flat area I was explaining about before. You could see this. It looks like a small fire. Within days, the 40 acres went to 40,000 acres. It just began to burn. So I'm going to let you know that these smaller fires, we just need to take care of, and you find them in these very dry areas. Now, I told you that the winds were gusting 30 to 40 miles an hour. So again, now we're going to take off. The plane's going to take off. And are we going to feel some turbulence? The answer is yes. The passenger next to me, real nice gal, You could see that she began to get a little nervous, and she asked a few questions. And I just said in a fun way, well, I'm an environmental scientist. I think a little brag going on. And I explained to her what turbulence is and the reasons why you have turbulence. And it put her at ease, because later on the flight, we hit turbulence again, and she sort of smiled, looked at me, and she regurgitated down like the information. It was pretty cool. It was a cool comment from her as well. Now, United Airlines, when we landed in Vegas, and I thought this was really neat, they said, this is an energy-saving technique. Would you please pull the shades down? Because obviously we were deplaning, getting off. And by pulling the shades down, the inside of the plane wasn't going to heat up as much, so they're not going to have to use as much energy. But let's figure out, in this desert region, what it really costs. That was the only energy savings technique I saw. Everywhere you go, it is air conditioned. Cabs, motels, hotels, convention center. And me, I don't like, when I say I don't like being cold, hey, in the wintertime, I got all my outdoor gear on, no worries. But everywhere you go is air conditioning. It's just not me. You know, one day the temperature, I just mentioned, hit 109. Think about this. Las Vegas, can't talk, I'm so excited. Las Vegas will use more energy in one day than a small town will use in one year. So by living in these regions, again, we think about in the cost. People say, oh, it's cheaper to live out there. Well, it may be cheaper to buy a home, but then there are these other costs that are incurred that are out there. You know, some people, they go to vacation there for the casinos and the shows, but you know by me, that's not me. Because for me, Las Vegas is the perfect stopover for the North Rim of the Grand Canyon. And if you haven't been there, you need to get there. And the two other places, which are my two, I guess two of my favorite places on earth are Bryce Canyon and Zion National Parks. And every year, Backpacker Magazine, they rate the 10 greatest hikes. And they happen to be in Bryce and Zion. And I was doing my wolf research many years ago. I would meet my cousin Kevin, his friend Paul. We're going to hike Bryce and Zion. And we did that. And we were able to hike through the Virgin River. And if you've never done this, you're actually hiking through a river, walking stick. You can listen to one of my shows. Not, don't go there now, but you listen to one of my shows that talks about all this. It's just a great place to be. I've ridden horseback with one of the cowboys out there who told me his name was Shakespeare. And obviously he had a lot of cowboy folklore. And you can listen to that show, but not right now, because you need to listen to this show so you can learn about weather in the desert. Well, people must like Las Vegas, because think about this number. So we're talking about like the amount of people that are headed out to a desert. In May, 4.3 million people passed through McCarran Airport. That's obviously the major airport there. And the number will be much larger June through August. So people flock to the desert. I mean, hey, it used to be like almost like an adult oasis, so to speak. And now it's a family. Hey, when I went down to the pool where that wind was blowing and all that, and there were just whole families that were out there, and hopefully they were sun blocking their bods up at that point. Well, here's a great story about this, because, you know, being outside there, 15 minutes from Vegas is Red Canyon. You can get in there and take some great photos. For me, it was killing me because I was out at Super Zoo at Barkerstown. I wasn't able to get the time to go there. So I'm living on East Coast time. Didn't want to change it because I was only going to be there for a few days. So I go down at 4:30 in the morning. I go down to the concierge and I said, hey, look, I want to take some photos of the sun rising over the Rockies. Got these motels in the way. He says, I'm going to do something for you, sir. He saw my Joey B shirt, Joey B TV, because you can always log on to joeyb.tv, but not now. Later on, watch some of the episodes that are there. And we're chatting. He says, I'm going to get you up to the roof deck of our carport there, our car deck. He says, no one's allowed up there. He says, but I'm going to let security know that you're coming up, a couple cameras. So I get up there, and I'm waiting for the sunrise over the Rockies. And all of a sudden, a golf cart comes up with a security guard. And the guy, he's got a smile on his face, and he goes, well, sir, you know you're not supposed to be here. He says, so it is my job to watch you shoot the sunrise, with my camera, of course, shoot the sunrise while I am there watching the sunrise with you. So a smile on his face. So I am there going click, 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 click. And I am getting some of the greatest photos. If you want to see some of them, go to Joey B Outdoors on Twitter. I mean, you can find me, Joey B, Facebook and all this, but the Joey B Outdoors, you'll see a photo of a day. And I've got just like days and days, because sometimes it's just clouds and a refraction of light as the sun is rising. Some of them were spectacular. But on that day was also the strawberry moon. And it is this large, humongous moon, and I wanted to get it setting over the Rockies. And the problem was my motel, 65 floors, was blocking it. I was like, so I'm going sunrise, click, 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 click. And I'm getting these great photos, and for whatever reason, and I don't know why, and I turn around and look, and there is a, between the two motels, it is the strawberry moon, this monstrous moon setting in the Rockies there. So I'm going click, 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 and then I turn back to the sunrise, click, 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 and sort of getting whiplash, but I was getting awesome photos of both. And it's funny that, you know, again, you know, this the Facebook like thing. And again, I appreciate when people like my photos and all that. I've gotten so many likes of that strawberry moon because it looks like this monster, I mean, monstrous moon setting over it. So you see when you're in the Rockies and you're at a lower level and you're looking up at the actual mountain peaks, you can get some great shots of, hey, it's sunrise, sunset, moonset, just some really, really cool things. Now, when I go to places, I also listen to taxi drivers because they're the locals. If you want to know something, can you say like I want to get the best Mexican restaurant or this is the type of, they know it. They know the sites. They know every single thing you need to find. So I spoke to one on a hot, dry weather day, and something I learned there about weather in the desert. She said it kills anything rubber on your car, from wiper blades to rubber mounts. She was currently having her rubber mounts on her car replaced, her personal car, because they all dried out. And think about this, with all that dry weather and rubber, it's going to break down. So that was something. Now, think about this one, weather in the desert. People who purchase their groceries at the supermarket, because I made my way over to Albertsons. That's one of the types of supermarkets they have out there. And I bought a few items. And I was waiting for a cab to get me back, and I kept my cart. Actually, I brought it back inside the Albertsons because things were beginning to, now they weren't going bad, but the heat was tremendous. So the people that purchase things, you've got to show up to your Albertsons because not everyone lives 2 minutes away from a shopping market out in the desert. You're going to have to bring coolers or the cold bags to preserve your goods. If not, your ice cream will become a milkshake by the time you get home. Hey, maybe you like it that way. I don't know. Now, I am definitely not that air conditioning person. So I am really happy to be back home. I've got like the super monstrous attic fan. You turn it on, open up a couple windows, and it just sucks the air through my house. And I am happy. In the past few months, Barkerstown Brew has sent me to Orlando, Florida, and Las Vegas, Nevada. Every place you feel you go to feels like the tundra in December. Imagine, and I did this, I brought a fleece top for all the indoor events. It was a thin fleece, but nonetheless, a fleece top in Vegas because it was just so stinking cold because of the air conditioning everywhere I went. But then again, they took the temperature of the roadway. This is the real thing. The roadway was 154 degrees. You can fry an egg at 144 degrees. So anyone for an omelet? Until next time, enjoy life's adventures. You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.